Thank you, Brother Andy. That's always my desire when I stand in front of a congregation is that whatever happens, it will be what God wants to happen. I know me. I'm not perfect. And sometimes I'm just not as prepared as I ought to be. And I know that He always steps in and takes over and takes care of it. Now, I do have some things for you, but today I have asked some volunteers. I'll call them volunteers. I've asked some people to help me out with something. And I'm going to go ahead and ask them to come up front here to the microphone, which was over there. And we've got a little bit of what I would call a reader's theater, kind of a dramatization of some things. And I think you'll recognize it when you hear it, what the story is. And we might have to, you might actually have to like turn the mic and hold it and different things to make sure everybody can hear. But so it being kind of a reader's theater, a dramatic reading kind of a setting, so we're not going to be acting and there's no props and things like that, just expression and all that. Close your eyes if you want to. Use your imagination. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost.
Sure is dark.
Don't worry. Just hang on to this rod.
Okay, but it's really dark. Hey, wait, what's that shiny thing over there? It might be something light. Oh, a TV, cool.
Hey,
come back, don't go.
Grab hold of this, okay?
Ding, ding.
Oh no, my cell phone. I forgot it, and I just got a message. I'll be right back, really, don't worry. BRB.
Leave it behind. Stay here.
And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and spacious building, and it stood as if it were in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female, and their manner of dress was exceeding fine, and they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers.
Look at you all walking and holding that rod of iron like a baby. Can't walk on your own? You could be like us in this fancy building. We have cool clothes, furniture, and money. I've got everything I want. I'm popular.
Just ignore them. Don't let go.
You said I'm talented, right?
Yes, very. Why?
Well, I just can't do this anymore. The path is narrow. The rocks hurt my feet. I'm not sure why I'm even holding this rod.
It will head you straight to our goal. It's the only way.
You know, I think I can get to this later. I'm sorry, but I was destined for greatness. I want to be popular, too.
Why did they all leave?
Because other things got their attention. Now hold my hand and hold the rod. We'll be all right.
Can they come back?
Yes, but it will be difficult. It will take a miracle.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Hey, this is it. Come on. He's coming. Hey, you. Come back. Grab me. My hand, now.
For ye know not but what they will return and repent and come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I shall heal them, and ye shall be the means of bringing salvation unto them.
What? Oh, wow, already? Sorry, that light wasn't what I thought it was. Thanks for showing me this rod again.
It's okay. Just grab on.
And assuredly, as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God hath spoken it, and it is his eternal word, which cannot pass away, that they which are righteous shall be righteous still, and they which are filthy shall be filthy still. First of all, I want to say thank you to my helpers. And hopefully you understood where the story was, and hopefully you kind of heard what was happening. When it talks about how there were some that were lost in the midst of darkness and lost, I of course threw in a cell phone there and having to go back for it and things like that, but now I want you to consider that there are things in this world and in this life that are very obviously not what we should be a part of. And sometimes we still fall to that. And there are other things that have that sneaky way of being a part of our lives and kind of overtaking things. And I want us to consider all of those things today. I also want to give you these thoughts too. I believe that we were created to worship. We were created to worship our God. But since we have that feeling of needing to worship, sometimes we're drawn away to other things, and our attention, our worship, is given to things that we shouldn't give it to. I speak to you today as brothers and sisters of Christ. And so I kind of have the idea and the feeling that we are the people that are hanging onto that rod of iron, or we're commencing in the path towards it. That we are those that should kind of know better. Yet I know that we're human beings. I certainly am. I don't stand in front of you as perfection by any means. But I want us to consider this, because the thought that's upon my mind, the thought that I have, is that we're not ready yet. There's so much that's happened in our church in my lifetime and in your lifetime that never did we expect to see, especially in that short amount of time. And you think 10, 20 years is a short amount of time, and think of what's happened in our church in 10, 20 years. The people that have the gospel in their hand that didn't, the places where people have gone where we hadn't before. It's amazing. It can only be a blessing and a miracle for God, from God. But that's not the end of it. That's not all that we're to do. There's more coming. And this world is changing all the time. It's making its own preparations for its own things. I wonder, are we ready for what's coming next? I'd like to place that thought for you there. And I'm going to turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter. This is the Ten Commandments. Do you have them memorized? You know which ones they are? And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's all the further in the Ten Commandments I'm going to choose to read today, right now. He is the Lord our God. We're not to make other graven images and spend our time worshiping those things. He's a jealous God, and he will answer that. He will answer that with his wrath. And he shows mercy to those that follow his commandments. We want to be that people that follows his commandments. I have no doubt of that. Many of the things that I may say to you might be the old phrase, preaching to the choir, because you're here. And we're all here together, and you expect something. You want to hear from the Word of God. That's a good thing. So I hope that some of the things I say to you aren't too hard. I already know that as I look in the mirror, some of the things I'm going to say to you are really hard. But we need it. I need it. Revelations chapter 18. The fall of Babylon. Babylon was once a place. It is used scripturally many times to indicate the organization of sin in this world and in our lives. The beginning of the chapter, it says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." As I read those verses and I think about verse 2 and 3, I think about this world that we have now that we're a part of and the things that are going on. And as I have grown and become more aware of things myself, just in the way things work, the way governments work, don't work, the way kings are, do these verses not speak of our time and the things and the governments and the peoples and those in power and the... I believe they do. Brothers and sisters, I want you to consider, as you consider that comparison, I want you to consider that the time is now when the world is ripe. Is ripe. When I turn on the TV and watch the news, if I'm to believe even some of it, I can see within it that the forces of evil that are arrayed in this world and the things that they would choose to do are blatantly in our face. Things that are not right, things that are sinful, things that are just against God's plan. Blatantly in our face and blatantly celebrated as if they're okay. Do you see that too? If I'm the only one, then great for us, right? But do you see that too? Just yesterday, we had the Scripture Adventure Day Camp with the younger kids. And Samuel the Lamanite was our story. I want to bring some of that story to you. I'm on page 589 in the Book of Mormon. That's Helaman chapter 5. And I'm going to read 28 through 32. Now you know that Samuel the Lamanite was on the wall of the city and he was preaching. prophesying to the Nephites therein, and they weren't liking what he was saying. And he was warning them that if they didn't repent, sure destruction would be upon them. In fact, he was telling them that their riches were cursed. Let me read these verses. "Behold ye the people of this great city, and hearken unto my words, yea, hearken unto the words which the Lord saith. For behold, he saith that ye are cursed because of your riches, and also are your riches cursed because you have set your hearts upon them, and have not hearkened unto the words of him who gave them unto you. You do not remember the Lord your God and the things which he hath blessed you, but you do always remember your riches, not to thank the Lord your God for them. Yea, your hearts are not drawn out unto the Lord, but they do swell with great pride, unto boasting, and unto great swelling, envyings, strifes, malice, persecutions, and murders, and all manner of iniquities. For this cause hath the Lord God caused that a curse should come upon the land, and also upon your riches, and this because of your iniquities." I'll read one more. "Yea, woe unto this people because of this time which has arrived, that ye do cast out the prophets, and do mock them, and cast stones at them, and do slay them, and do all manner of iniquity unto them, even as they did of old time." And I will stop there. But there is much more that he said to them. As I read these verses, and I like to take the verses that I'm reading and the stories and try to apply them to today, because I live today. But I know there's a message here. We all know that there's a message here for our lives. But as I look at these words here and I think about today, I think about a country that is not remembering the Lord their God that gave them that country. Their heart is set upon riches. A country where people's hearts are set upon the power that they can gain and the riches that come with it, even though they know it's not the right thing to do. This world and this country are ripe. If we wanted to have the conversation, I could sit down with you and we could talk about what we think is going to happen next, and this and that and the other thing, and this is set up for this thing to happen next, and I'm worried that might happen, and boy, if the government would just do this or that or the other thing, and we could have that long conversation. And we might be right about some of it, we might not be. You might be right about all of it, I might be wrong about all of it. What would that mean for us? I read earlier about come out of her, come out of Babylon, my people. That is for us. We that are his people, that message is for us. And to me, that kind of message rings through all the ages. What does that mean, to come out of her? It means that we don't want to partake in the fornication of all these different things. That was the word that was used. We don't want to be a part of it. We have to remove sin in our lives. We have to remove those things that would identify us with Babylon. In our little dramatization here, you might be thinking to yourself, why did he throw a cell phone in there? Why a TV? It's not a sin to have a TV. It's not a sin to have a cell phone. What's Brother Donald trying to say? No, it's not a sin to have a TV. Might have to have an 11th commandment if it were that, right? It's not a sin to have a cell phone. It's a tool. And I've used mine many times for good things. But have you ever had the experience, whether you're the one on the receiving end or you're the one that's done this, where you're having a conversation with someone and their phone rings? Hang on. And their attention is on the phone. And whatever message. Maybe it's an emergency. I'm not going to try and judge here. My point is, if we're spending time with God and that cell phone rings and we put him aside to find out what's going on, I wonder. I can't walk through the living room of my house without turning and looking at that TV if it's on. I don't care what's on that television. I can't walk through the living room of our house. If that TV is on, I will turn and I will look at it. And I might stand there for 30 seconds before I've realized I've even done it. It's terrible. And then, of course, I've forgotten where I was headed, didn't remember what I was going to do, have to go back to the other room and think for a second, oh yeah, and then go and try it again. Maybe I'm the only one. But if a TV can grab me like that, that's probably not good, so I confess it before you. Does your television grab you like that away from God? Have you not gone to Wednesday night service because that such and such TV special you've been dying to watch for 2 years is coming on? I put that before you. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15. Now in this chapter, Samuel is talking, and there's some things here about Saul and all of that. But rather than give you a lot of background, I want to cut to the chase of what is said here. And Samuel said, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Well, I'm not done yet. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." He speaks to Saul with that last statement. I want us to have some perspective as we take a little self-evaluation of our lives and what we really need to be rid of in our lives to be prepared for the next thing that God has for this church and has for each one of us as individuals. I fully believe the idea that he knew each one of us before we were born. I fully believe in the idea that he has a plan for your life and mine. And when you think that you've achieved that plan, he's got more for you. You just have to ask and prepare. Have we considered then that our rebellion to the things that he has is just as bad as witchcraft? That's not how I've always thought in my life. If I'm a little stubborn, that's just because I'm a little stubborn. But if you put me near witchcraft stuff, of course I'm going to back away from that, right? Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Remember the part in Exodus where he said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? When we do, that's idolatry. When we worship something ahead of God, that's idolatry. Stubbornness fits in that category? Wow. I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 3. You'll probably beat me there. Verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Mortify, therefore, your members. To mortify something, if something is mortified, is like unto death. "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth," the earthly parts of you, "the fornication, the uncleanness, inordinate affection." Do you see these things in the world around us? Do you know what they are? You should find out and recognize them. Covetousness, which is idolatry. When you covet something, you're worshiping it. You're putting it before God. You want it more than anything else. Are these things that cross your path in your life? I can answer that for you. Only you can answer that for yourself. But these are things of how we think and how we feel and what our heart is on. These are things that we have to take time and examine and see if and listen for God telling us if they are things to remove from our lives so that we are prepared for the next thing that He has for us. You and us. I can tell you from things that I heard growing up about the history of the church and some of the things that went on. I can tell you from my own experience in growing and what I saw as a youngster and a teenager to what I see now. I can see and I can tell you from those things that this church has grown so much in just my short lifetime in loving each other and overcoming things that divide. We are on the right path. But it's kind of like my image, I guess, my visualization. It's kind of like you're walking the right direction on the right path, but it's hard. It's really hard. And you realize this cloak I'm wearing is too heavy. It's holding me back. And you shed it. Oh, I didn't even know I was dragging that big old branch on my foot. And you kick it free. That's what I'm talking about. We're on the right path. And we're growing in God's love as a church. And His message is going internationally. As He intended. This congregation here and the people of America where this gospel was restored and brought forth first in its restored way. We are the strength. We are the foundation and strength of this gospel going forward. I am very glad for every one of you that are here. But if I sat down and thought long enough, in fact, some names pop into my head right away, I can come up with 30 people that live right around here that used to come and aren't here right now. And I would love for them to be here. And it's hard to go get them if they see a branch dragging the ground behind us and that old tattered cloak of whatever it was that we've carried around for years. These are the things we have to examine. And these are the things we have to come out of. And these are the things we have to shake free of. Another example. You can't go down to the riverboat and have a meal there because it's great food and expect to see and have people see you as a beacon of light of the gospel of Christ. No, it's no sin to have dinner. The problem? Where are you having it? I'm at Galatians 5. Did I have you turn there? I think I might have had you turn there and not read anything yet. Galatians chapter 5. Maybe you know these verses really well. Let me read verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred? Nobody in this room has ever hated anything before, have you? Stand behind me in line. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How much more wonderful then and thankful should we be that Jesus Christ came and gave us an avenue of repentance? But then we have to repent. We have to do something about it. I'm turning now to Alma 16, starting at verse 229. I don't have a page number down. Page 430. Alma 16, 229. Page 430. Alma speaking to the Zoramites. But as I've said before, speaking to us. And now, as I have said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when you are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time you go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance even unto death, behold, you have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. That is how he spoke to them and how he speaks to us, and why it is so important. Why it is so important to look at the things in our lives and do that check. What am I doing? Is it okay? Should I rent that movie? Should I watch a movie at all? Maybe I should be doing something else. Why haven't I read in the scriptures the last 3 days? Did I pray today? That's basic stuff, right? But how does that stuff just creeps into our lives? All right, another little confession. Because I feel like I'm probably not alone, and so maybe this speaks to you. I just recently got an updated cell phone, a new program plan and all that kind of stuff, and now I have this phone that has games on it. I've never had that before. Okay. What do you think the first thing was that I did with that phone, practically? Well, I played a game, right? Got all these great games on there. And I grew up in a generation where a video game, well, that's neat. It went from the ping pong tennis thing to all sorts of stuff. So there's this one game. It's probably about a minute long every time you play it. Okay? And there's little statistics at the end. So it had my interest because, oh, I'm achieving something here. Not really, but that's the way it pulls you in, right? I'm achieving something here. I've got this level, this amount of what, just, you know what I'm talking about. One of the statistics is how many times you've played the game and how much total time it is. I was blown away. 22 hours and 48 minutes in the first, I don't even remember how long it was. Blown away. That's almost a whole day. Anybody had that experience? You don't have to raise your hand. Just let it resonate in your mind for a second as I kind of reveal myself to you, unfortunately. That's a whole day. Okay, so stop playing it so much. Okay. That's a whole day that I didn't spend with my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who should be more important than any game on a phone. Right? Right. Blown away. When you have a realization of something and it blows you away, then you've got to do something. You've just got to do something. That's taken over my time. It's got to go. What did I miss in that time? Was he trying to talk to me? I missed it because I was busy, you know. Could be. I may never know. John, the 10th chapter. John 10, 2 through 5. Now I'll start at the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber of your time, of your energy, of your mind power, of your focus, of your attention, of your heart. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This should be a description of our relationship with our Lord and Savior. We know his voice. We follow him out to pasture. We follow him wherever he leads us. And we don't follow anything else because it's not him. You know this. I know this. But it's so important that we remind ourselves and that we go, you know what? Am I really listening and following? What do I need to do? Is there something? Or what is this in my life? And we recognize it for what it is. Out it goes. It's the voice of a stranger. First Corinthians chapter 10. Starting at verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. To me, this is the part where it's important for us to do that self-examination, to fall to our knees in prayer and say, God, where am I lacking? What do I have in my life that has to go? How can I be more prepared to do your work? Because it says, take heed lest he fall. Anybody ever been taken in a sin and you didn't realize it was happening and then you're standing there and you're going, wow, how and why did I do that? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a human being. I am a man. Therefore, I'm common. And all the sins that fall upon mankind could be common to me. I have to do something. I have to take heed. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let me broaden this back out, as I mentioned the part about coming out of Babylon and not being associated with her. For all of the things of this world that are around us, there is a way to escape. God provided it. There's a way to escape Babylon. There's a way to escape temptation. There is a way to escape sin in our lives. And he provided it, and it is right there with it. We have to be looking the right direction. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And as I've read in many other verses, idolatry is more than just a graven image that a person might fall and worship. Right? Do you remember me reading that? Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. I found myself up here when Randy was speaking about the need for the season of prayer. And for the season of prayer, I found myself thankful to be among you. I've seen many seasons of prayers before. I've been a part of them. I joined this one, albeit silently, but I was a part of it. Why it should stand in my mind as something more amazing than the others, I don't know. I can't attest to a special blessing that Nathan has received for it, though I know he has been blessed because we have gathered and prayed for his sake. But I think it was just the thankfulness that struck me as I heard prayers and as I heard him speak. To be with you and to be together. To know that we all have the same goal in mind and that we all have a desire to stand in the name of Christ and live our lives that way. To know that if I needed it, I could call or just ask, and there could be a season of prayer for me with heartfelt desire that a blessing would come to my aid. We show so much of God's love in the things that we do with each other. He is here with us. We're on the right path. But we have to keep preparing. We have to shake free of those things that would hold us back and hold us down. We have to be able to keep moving forward for what he asks of us to do, individually or as a church, so that we are prepared as the bride for when he comes again. It's an unending thing. And I really believe that we're on the precipice, if I can say that, of something else. I don't know if that's a something else that God is going to bring to us and say, do this now, or if that's a something else of the world is going to bring this and say, deal with that one. Only they'll think it's great and wonder why we don't. They won't recognize that it's pure sin. But we're at a precipice. It's coming. And we've got to be ready for the next thing. What do I need to do? What do you need to do? I think that we all need to pray and ask for his direction on that. That through this reunion that we have a mindset of preparation and a mindset of getting ready for and a mindset of I'm going to get rid of so that I can be ready for, and a mind that is different than maybe what it was before. I place those thoughts before you, and you're going to have to do with them as you wish. But it's my desire, my earnest request that you pray for me. I got some things to shake off. And then I pray for you. And that we, like in the little dramatization, where the one reader said, grab a hold of my hand and the rod and let's keep going. That we can hold hands. We can hold this together. And we can be there. We can endure whatever comes our way to distract us and pull us away. And we can get there. Thank you.